want to, but we don't need to.
Good morning, good evening.
What? I'm keeping up with my getting.
Welcome to the Senate Committee on Ways and Means, Natural Resource Subcommittee. Today we have a work session on Senate 12. First, the chair needs a motion to reconsider, to reaccept and reconsider Senate Bill 12. Then we're going to hear about the negotiations that led to the -C18 amendment on Senate Bill 12 and how we arrived at these. And then with the cooperation of the committee, we'll move the bill back to the Ways and Means to do past recommendations. So we will entertain the motion to reconsider Senate Bill 12. Chair recognizes Representative Weston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we welcome back and reconsider Senate Bill 12.
Now, if you're in with a stage here, Senate Bill 12. Any questions on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, the order. Ms. Nicklin, would you like to...
Or actually what I'd like to do is set up our legal counsel to recap the ramifications
of the amendments that are contained in the C-18, and then I will invite 2 minutes of testimony from Mr. Schlack representing Associated Oregon County, so he would like to register a comment for the record, and then we will go hopefully into our actions during this work session. So I'd like to recognize legal counsel Jeanette Holman from Legislative Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Jeanette Holman, Legislative Council. The C-18 amendments make basically 4 different changes in these amendments. The first change is on page 2, and it has to do with when a local government requires a geotechnical report on a parcel. And what we've done is said that we've left the discretion to the local government to still require it, but if they require it, the local government is required to provide for a coordinated review of that report with Dalgami and or the State Forestry Department. The second thing we've done is add language, and this is on lines 3 through 11 of the amendments, that clarifies that if a person chooses to go ahead and construct a building, they're required to sign, the bill is right now, requires the landowner to acknowledge that they cannot bring any future action against an adjacent landowner for damages from a rapidly moving landslide. What this does is make it clear that that limitation goes with the land so that any future purchasers of the land are also bound by that agreement. So, and that this language was brought to us by the title company who were concerned about it getting lost. The third thing these amendments do is clarify that it was implied in these amendments that it clarifies that not only must the dwelling comply with the requirements in this bill, they also have to comply with any other kind of requirements like sewage systems and building codes that already exist. There's two parts to this. They have to comply with the existing requirements, but they also, because much of this land is in rural areas and agricultural lands, a lot of the requirements are found in state law rather than in the local land use regulations. So we've added on line 14 of the amendments, the language state law, or just to bring that regulation in also. We've changed the period of time, the grace period for a local government to get their regulations and a TDR program in effect from 6 months to 10 months to reflect the need for them and the time limits that it takes them to get those kinds of regulations in place after they received the map from the Department of Geology and Industries. And the last thing we've done is change the e-board allocation so that the LCDC can, the DLCD, can use any of the remaining money in that allocation, if they have any, in their local government grant program to assist local governments in adopting these regulations, if they have any of them.
Thank you for the recap. Are there any questions from the committee? I think it might be worth noting for the committee's benefit that since Senate Bill 12 left our committee, there's been, half a dozen different meetings of the working group, and a couple of sessions where we actually negotiated changes with representatives from the governor's office, from Bill Ganny, from the Department of Forestry, from LCDC, the proponents of the legislation, the Oregonians in Action, small woodland owners, among others, who were at the table talking about different concerns, and most recently Association of Oregon County and the representatives of the title underwriters, title insurance underwriters. So it's been an interesting couple of weeks that progressed into a couple of days. And I want to thank legal counsel for staying with the process, because it was a great effort we brought the bill forward. The bill isn't perfect, of course, none of our legislation is, but I think it represents a real step forward and certainly provides some indemnification for upslope landowners, some mechanisms for creating for the first time transferable development rights, which are critical to landowners that want to do development, and provides clear and compelling warnings for people that live in geologically active areas and for subsequent landowners who purchase properties that have been developed with a waiver of liability or with mitigation. So I think we've tried to cover all the interests. Any questions for our counsel? Hearing and seeing none, thank you. I'm going to invite Mr. Art Schlack to come up and give 2 minutes of testimony for the record on concerns that he would like to put on the public record that may inform future discussions about transferable development rights. Mr. Schlack.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Art Schlack with the Association of Oregon Counties. So, Mr. Chair, I would like to thank you for this opportunity. Committee members, let me first say that this Senate Bill 12 will establish new requirements for local government, will require them to amend their comprehensive plans and their administrative rules, and to provide notice to a number of property owners yet to be identified and specified, because we do not know the scale of the lands in the various counties that may be affected by this piece of legislation. Our review is that these new requirements are subject to Measure 30, and there is no funding to local government that's being provided for in this legislation at this point. I would note that some of this, the impact to counties may not necessarily be this fiscal year or this next biennium. It may be following, because we don't know when the maps are going to be available. But truly, there is a Measure 30 mandate by this bill to local government to establish new programs and do amendments to their rules and regulations. That is a major concern to us. It also puts local government in the position of having to make decisions with respect to geotechnical reports, where we do not have the technical expertise on staff. And while there is some coordination with state agencies, there is no requirement that those agencies share the responsibility of reviewing those reports. So we will have to deal with that in our ordinances, and that may mean that we have to, at the applicant's request or applicant's cost, hire peer review experts to review these geotechnical reports at this point. In some respects, Mr. Chairman, my view is this is one of those proverbial carts before the horse, because we don't know the scale of what we're looking at here, but we're all, right at the same time, we're developing a detailed program in terms of application administration, which local governments are going to have to undertake. And that is a major concern.
Noted for the record. Questions, Mr. Schlack? Senator George?
It's been over 6 months now since this thing has been in the hall. And really, this is about the first time I've heard any major concerns like this from you folks. I hope that if there's an issue like this comes up in the future, this will be right on board, right off the chute, right out of the chute to make sure that we can make changes that would be more accommodating.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, I've been involved in this for about the last 10 days, and I was at your committee meeting when you moved it out. The comment was made that everybody was in accord with that, and I think if you asked the people that were at those work groups, they knew that counties had major problems and concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Slack. I think the issue here is that in any program that is an incentive program, where we're starting to try and solve a problem that creates new rights for landowners, which I think the Senator of Georgia should be commended for undertaking. It's a very ambitious issue, and the horsepower industry should be commended for recognizing that there is an issue of liability that needs to be addressed. That we are starting the first chapter on a story that will grow. And the discussions in our working group and the discussions with leadership in the building lead me to conclude that there is ready acknowledgement that there will be effects to local landowners and there will be effects to local jurisdictions. The counties will be required to do things. Therefore, the bill creates support mechanism for the counties in that it will create model ordinances, model transferable development rights, assistance from both Dogami and the LCDC in drafting and mapping. There will be requested and required assistance from any of the state agencies that can help. There is an appropriation that we'll talk about. Ms. Nickram can go over fiscal analysis for us and show that there is appropriations and dollars set aside not only for the mapping project but to assist in creating those model ordinances and model transferable development rights. So I think to a certain extent the costs that the counties will incur have been mitigated, but there's a commitment that if there are additional costs, there's an allocation to the legislative e-board, and there's the ongoing commitment from the governor through executive office, and from the legislature, additional help is needed that will entertain those requests at legislative e-board and advise the 71st legislative session that help may be requested. Any other questions for Mr. Slack?
Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Nickram, would you like to go over the legislative fiscal impact, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've handed out the most recent fiscal analysis of Centerville Club. And the major changes from when we were here before is the Department of Forestry share of $224,000 is now all general fund, but previously it was done on the 60-40 split under the Forest Practices Act. And so the cost of the department has not been changed. It's just been put into all general funds. The Department of Land Conservation and Development has an appropriation of $50,000. And then there's an additional $50,000 general fund to the emergency board in the event that they it is necessary. So that increases the fiscal impact to this bill for $100,000 general fund. The Department of Geology and Mineral Industries has a $247,745 general fund, and this is the same as you previously approved. So the total is $571,745 general fund.
Any questions for Ms. Nixon? Kristen Messerly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've only heard from the counties. Does this affect cities at all?
My understanding is that when the mapping is done, there may be areas in cities and counties and other local jurisdictions that will be affected. But notwithstanding, it's the counties that have the responsibility for managing the transferable development right program.
I'm sure the city of Mapleton has, some impact. Like you say, it would be covered by the county, but they're definitely in line.
Absolutely.
Other questions? Hearing none, we are in work session, and what we need to do is, first of all, we need to put the C-18 amendments into Senate Bill 12. Then we need to move Senate Bill 12 to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a new pass recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the C-18 amendments into C engrossed Senate Bill 12.
The motion is for the C-18 amendments to be moved into Senate Bill 12. Thank you, Representative Westburn. Is there any questions on the motion? Are there objections to the motion? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. We now need a motion to move Senate Bill 12 to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Representative Westburn.
Thank you, Chair. I move Senate Bill 12 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any objections to the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Hearing no discussion and seeing no objections, let's call the roll, Mr. Senator Perkins.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator
George? Aye.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Representative King?
Aye.
Representative
Mezzoli? Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Westland?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. The chair will carry to the Full Ways and Means Committee. We need a carrier for the House. Do we have a volunteer?
I would recommend Representative Mezzoli.
Recommended that Representative Mitchell would carry the bill. Representative, are you comfortable with carrying the Senate bill? Representative Mitchell will carry on the Senate floor. I think the chairman needs to be, or the carrier will be named from the Full Ways and Means Committee for the Senate floor. So we'll go forward to the Full Ways and Means Committee. The due pass recommendation. And colleagues, I would like to invite you. This is not an official committee function, but I'd like to invite you all to my office tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. We have a little get-together if you're available for that. And we'll serve coffee. So 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
We just told you that. I want
to read
this.
Okay. Fine. And that concludes our business for today. I'll just remind you that the Senate Ways and Means Committee is still subject to meeting at the call of the chair. Or the joint meeting. So, we're adjourned. Good morning.